to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. My name is host Mike Joko. Matt and Jess join me tonight. And joining us for our special season preview episode is IndyStar columnist Jim Aiello. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Jess and Matt, how's everybody?
Good.
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. All right. We're going to start with our Apex Pro sponsor announcement, the ultimate driver modification for racing, autocross, and high-performance driving events. They're powerful, cost-effective data acquisition hardware that pairs to the free Apex app, which you can find in the Apple App Store. Just search for Apex Pro app. And visit www.apextrackcoach.com to learn more. And we are going to jump right into it here. We are going to do our season preview, go through all the teams, and we'll see where this takes us. So I guess I'm up first with Team Foyt. As everybody knows, Team Foyt is back with ABC Supply Co. on both cars. Chevy is the engines. Let's see here. We'll start with Matthias Laist. Last year finished 18th in the standings, so not great. His best start was third all the way back in St. Pete, and his best finish was 11th in Pocono. So my gut thoughts on Laist is he's going to improve a little bit this year, maybe 12th or 13th in the standings. And we shall see, but I think he's going to have a better year than he did last year. And on to Tony Kanaan. Tony Kanaan finished 16th, which was his worst in a while. His best start, 6th in Texas, best finish was 6th in Toronto. Only led 20 laps all year last year, and I believe 99% of those were at Indianapolis, which was the least amount of laps he has led since 1998. Matt has corrected me that I got it wrong. It's AJ Foyt Enterprises. Sorry, Mr. Foyt and Larry Foyt and whoever else. Thank you, Matt. Kanaan, I hope he has a better year. He doesn't seem, I've heard him interviewed and he kind of seems a little bit, you know, his expectations are a little bit lowered this year maybe, but they had a good hire in the manager from Ganassi. His last name is Harner. I forget his first name. Maybe Jim knows Scott. That. Scott Harner. Thank you. Yeah. So hopefully that'll help the team, but I'll get everybody's thoughts here real quick. Are we going to see an improved Foyt team finally? I'll start with Matt.
Probably not. I don't know. I guess I'm just the eternal pessimist because they just have never seemed to get it together. You know, they take out drivers, put in drivers, and then the new drivers they put in don't seem to get any better. So I think it does boil down to the team aspect of it. It doesn't really matter who's driving the car. A couple promising moments last year were definitely the high-speed ovals. Kanaan was very strong at Indianapolis. Kanaan looked very strong. He looked very strong at a couple other tracks. Laist looked really good at St. Pete until running into some sort of issue and then crashing. But overall, I just don't see it happening. I just don't see it panning out. I think they could be towards the rear of the field this year. Stranger things have happened, though. You never know in IndyCar, but it seems like they're destined for a poor season. What do you think, Jess?
I don't think they're going to be any worse than they were last year. I think that the team is making a few changes internally that may end up helping them a little bit, but I don't see them making great strides, but I don't see them going backwards either. So I'm going to say they're going to be roughly the same.
Jim?
Yeah, I don't see them getting any better. That's unfortunate. And that's not really me talking so much as it was, like you said, I think you were referencing this with Tony Kanaan talking the other day. I think it was at Media Day, and somebody asked him about the championship and the season, and he kind of just shook it off and said, there's not really going to be much of a championship or season. It's just going to be, it's about the 500 for them. That's what his boss cares about. That's what he cares about. It's all about Indy. They were pretty good there last year. Tony was really good there last year until he spun out. And that's it. And as far as the championship goes, it's going to be slow and steady progress. I guess it'll be interesting to see what they do versus a team like Carlin. another Chevy program and seeing how those two teams kind of go at each other. Cause I think those are the two kind of, you know, full time, but you know, last year they were kind of the backmarker Chevy team. So it'll be interesting to see how those two teams kind of compete against one another.
Good point. Matt, what team is next on our list here?
Well, before we move on, we got to get your opinion on them.
Oh, I think they're going to improve this year. I think Scott Harner was a good hire. I'm going to buck the trend in this negativity to start off our episode. I'm not going to say they're going to win a race, but I think they will have a few more top 10 finishes than one or two of last year. I don't know if they're going to, you know, podium much, but I think they'll have, I don't know, 5 or 6 top 10s by the end of the year. Does that sound reasonable?
Boo to optimism. Boo. Yeah, we can roll on to the next team here. We got Andretti Autosport up next. They do have the 4 full-time drivers returning to the team from last season. That includes Marco Andretti, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Alexander Rossi, and Zach Veach. Just a little side note, Connor Daly will be driving for the team at the Indianapolis 500, but we'll touch on that when we do our Indianapolis 500 preview. Honda Power is returning. Andretti has been very known to bounce around between engine suppliers since 2 of them came in 2012. They did form a technical alliance with Harding Steinbrenner Racing, which is now a 1 full-time entry effort with their Indy Lights driver last year, Colton Herta. So it'll be interesting to see if they help Harding Steinbrenner in any this year. We'll touch on that later as well. But yep, so they did not change any of their full-time driver lineups. They had a pretty good 2018. Alexander Rossi and Ryan Hunter-Reay were very consistent at a lot of the tracks. Rossi was fighting with legendary Scott Dixon all season and had some spectacular drives. Zach Veach was very much a learning season for him. Wherever they tested and then raced at, Veach seemed to do pretty well. So I do have high hopes for him in 2019 in his second full-time season. Marco, despite what we think of him, did have a couple of good races and did have some unfortunate things go his way. I think his highlight was probably either Detroit race 1, where he got the pole and then got outcycled in a pit stop. And then Toronto, he was running 3rd or 4th before running out of fuel with 1 lap to go. Gainbridge is jumping on Zach Veach's car, division of Group 1001. And finally, it's more of a off-season note is that Marco has actually bought into his entry and is now a partner on that 98 car. So something to note that maybe he's stepping up more of an ownership role in the team, which I think bodes very well for the future of that team as a whole. Jim Aiello, what do you think of Andretti Autosport in 2019?
Yeah, trying to think who to start with. I mean, I think they're going to be kind of the team. I don't know if it's a team to beat. You still have Penske and Ganassi, but the thing was they took a huge step forward last year, and that was kind of predicted by Alexander Rossi, who is really good at kind of pinpointing those things, as it turns out. And he kind of called that they would all make a big leap up, and we saw that, like you said, with Hunter-Reay finishing in the top 5 in the championship. Marco finished, I want to say, 8th in the championship, and Zach had some really good races, especially the back half of the season. So the whole team looked pretty good. I kind of expect them to stay that way. I think Rossi, I'm going to have my preseason prediction stories coming out next week, but I have Rossi as my season champion this year. I don't really see, I think he's kind of learned the lessons that he needed to learn from last year, which was that I talked to him actually today about it. He was talking about how it last year at Detroit, which was one of the kind of the ones he threw away when he was trying to outgun his teammate, Ryan Hunter-Reay, which is that he's always been kind of raised with this mentality or trained with the mentality that, you know, you got to beat your teammate no matter what. That's always the thing you have to do. And he said, that's kind of hard to get himself out of. He actually questioned whether or not if it was like Joseph or Simon Pagenaud behind him in Detroit, whether or not he would have pushed it as hard as he did and then ultimately locked up the brakes. And, you know, we all know what happened there. So he was saying he's kind of been aware of that now. And I don't think he's going to have as many errors. Andretti as a team really didn't have a lot of mechanical issues last year. If they continue that, I don't think there's any reason he can't be a champion. And then to kind of speed through the other guys, I'd say Ryan's going to have a chance to win a few races this year. Definitely, certainly Iowa, certainly a few of the street races. He was really good at Detroit, obviously, last year, and definitely and like dominant at Sonoma last year. And so he's going to have a chance to win a few races, and I think could compete for a championship if things broke the right way. I actually think Marco is going to break his podium streak this year. I think it's been 4 years since he's been on one. I think he gets 1 or 2 of those. And one of my last bold predictions is I think Veach finishes inside the top 10 in the championship. I really think this team has progressed in a way that that they took such a huge step last year that I don't necessarily see them being slowed down right now, even by a Penske or a Ganassi.
Yeah, I agree. I think Andretti might be the strongest team this year. Just a gut feeling. Zach Veach is going to progress great. I think every driver in Andretti this offseason has said how much Veach has improved year one to year two. I'm even going to say Zach Veach is going to win a race this year. And I'm not going to say Rossi is going to win the championship. I'm going to save my championship prediction for later in the episode. But, definitely, Rossi will definitely be top three again at a minimum. And Marco, all right, I'll agree with Jim here. I'll even give Marco, he's going to win a race this year. I know everybody's going to lambaste me for that. But I think he's going to win a race this year.
We need a transcript of this episode. We got some hot takes already. I like it.
Jess?
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you guys on the Marco bit. I don't think Marco's going to break his streak. But I do think that Zach Veach is going to be greatly improved. I think he got the experience he needed last year to move up. And I have to agree with Jim. As we already predicted a while ago, Rossi was who I picked to win the championship, and I'm sticking with it.
I like it. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's one of those things where it could go just drastically wrong for Andretti. You know, a lot of people are high on them. They had a really good year, but in the back of my mind is, the good teams can always have a rough year. So I'll maybe disagree with you guys on this one. I don't think they'll have anything for Penske and Dixon over the course of the season as far as the championship goes, but they'll definitely be strong in a couple of races. And then to touch on Zach Veach, it was interesting to see what his teammates said about him last year, because they said that he has a lot of value when it comes to setting up cars, which is kind of surprising since it's his first full-time season that he can add that much value. So if that's the case, I do expect to see him take a big leap for 2019, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he progresses. Jess, who we got next?
All right, so next up we have Arrow Schmidt Peterson Motorsports. They are bringing back Hinchcliffe, who finished 10th last year in the championship. They're keeping the number 6 car for Wickens when he is available to come back, and he finished 11th last year. And then they're also adding the number 7 with Marcus Ericsson. Obviously, that was a huge story during the offseason. They have Honda engines. I guess we'll call it the highlights of their 2018 season were Iowa for Hinch. Obviously, he won. And then even though he did not finish, I have to pick St. Pete for Wickens, because to come out the gate and just dominate that race was pretty amazing. And then I want to say that I think their little motto for the year should be setbacks and comebacks, because that seems to be the way that team operates. And I feel like obviously they have had a few big setbacks last year, so maybe this is going to be a good comeback year for them. I definitely see them finishing both cars in the top 10 of the championship this year.
Yeah, that's a great motto. We need to get that on a t-shirt. I think Ericsson had a great preseason, and I think he's going to surprise some people, maybe not to the level that Hinchcliffe surprise people. And I really think, after kind of thinking things over, watching him at the test, I think Hinchcliffe is in for a top 5 season. I'm going to continue my trend of positivity to start this episode. And I don't know, maybe he'll sneak in a win again, but I think he's definitely going to contend on a weekly basis. What about you, Matt?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to stick with what I said a couple weeks ago. I think we had a fan question who said who was going to be the most disappointing out of what we perceive to be the championship contenders, and I said Hinchcliffe. That's just solely based on the fact that at a lot of venues, he couldn't hold a candle to Robert Wickens, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on the team this year with the new backing to perform very well. And now that they don't have to worry about sponsorship money, and they got the funding that Penske and Ganassi have, that they're expected to make this great leap this year. And I don't personally see it happening. I still think he is going to be a comfortable maybe like 9th or 10th in the championship, but I do not see him competing with Dixon, Newgarden, Power, Rossi this year. I just don't see it in the cards personally. Really looking forward to Erickson though. I do think he's going to have a very good season. I don't think he's going to beat Hinch in the standings, but you know, as far as rookies go, and especially getting to ovals for the first time and whatnot, I do expect a pretty good season for him and to compete with Rosenqvist for that rookie of the year. What about you, Jim?
I'll start with Erickson. I definitely don't see him competing with Rosenqvist for rookie of the year. It's not really a shot at Erickson so much as it is. I've never heard so many championship contenders just assume that this guy is going to walk in and win a bunch of races, because that's what Will Power has told me. That's what Scott Dixon has told me. That's what Alexander Rossi just told me just today. So I don't know if there could be more hype around Felix Rosenqvist right now than there is. So it should be really interesting to see what he does. But back to Erickson, I kind of like the idea that he's kind of coming in under the radar. Doesn't come in with the buzz of Rosenqvist. Doesn't come in with the buzz of even Colton Herta. And yet I still think he's got to have a really good team and a good car. We know how well Wickens performed, and I'm not saying he's the same talent level as Wickens, but he has, you know, it's kind of those, when you look back at his Formula One pedigree, that's impressive, first of all, that he made it to Formula One. Second of all, you look back at that his backmarker status is a little misleading, since he wasn't really part of a team that could do anything. So I really do think that he has a chance to be pretty talented and surprise a lot of people. My guess right now is that he finishes somewhere around, him and Herta, I think, are pretty much fighting for the second spot in terms of rookie of the year. That'd be my guess. And then as for Hinch, yeah, I'm not really sure what it come down. The guy's never actually finished higher than, or at least not with Schmidt. He hasn't finished higher than 10th in the championship, which is what he did last year. However, he was off to a really good start last year. I think I'm trying to pull the numbers up here, but he was only 34 points off the lead before that disaster at the 500. So I'm not saying he would have stuck, you know, around there, but he had a really good start, and then the 500 happened, and then, you know, that kind of threw his season in a tailspin. Don't forget they fired their engineer. And then obviously what happens to Wickens, and I think that kind of throws your season in a tailspin, because it's his best friend, and seeing him go through that has got to be tough. So I think with the new aero money and the fact that he's hopefully going to have a much calmer season and, you know, actually makes the 500, I could see him competing for a top five spot. I ultimately don't think he's going to make it there, but I do think he can win a race, rack up a couple podiums, and have a really, really good season, maybe his best season as an IndyCar driver so far.
I definitely feel like they're both going to finish in the top 10 in the championship for the year. As far as Erickson, obviously, I kind of agree with Jim. You know, coming in under the radar is good. It doesn't put quite the pressure on him. So I think he's going to come in and just be able to get in a good mindset, get in a good flow, and I think he could definitely surprise some people.
Can I just chip in here? I think it's kind of surprising that there's no pressure, because like normally in a normal season he'd be the guy filling in for Robert Wickens, right? But it's like, it's not quite that, because you have Herta, you have Rosenqvist, and you have all these other guys. I don't know, I just find it interesting that there's not as much pressure on him, which I agree that there isn't, but it just seems like he is flown under the radar despite being his kind of position. Anyway, just interesting to me.
Yeah, fair point. Am I up next with Carlin?
Yeah.
All right, Carlin with a Chevy engine. I really don't know what to think of Carlin going into 2019. I almost said 2018. Charlie Kimball's only here for 5 races with Novo Nordisk. He did have a good finish in Toronto. Otherwise, it was a typical Charlie Kimball year. Max Chilton, back with the Gallagher sponsorship in probably my favorite livery as of now in 2019. And I'm sure we haven't seen all of them, but we still don't know what RC Enerson's doing. I believe Marshall Pruitt mentioned the other day that Pato O'Ward might get some of those races in the 500, possibly with Carlin. So there's still a lot of question marks eight or nine days before the season starts. But, you know, Matt, I know Matt predicted them to be the most improved rookie team heading into 2019. Man, I don't know. I don't know if the testing momentum is going to continue over. If RC Enerson or Pato get some races like it looks like, I believe they will outpace Max Chilton in every race they're in. Just my thoughts there. I think the rookie drivers are probably better talented than Chilton. And I think we might see a surprise top 10 or two from Chilton, otherwise, you know, 14th or 15th roughly. And I guess we'll see. I'll start with Jess's thoughts on this one.
Oh, I just don't know about them. I can't make up my mind, to be honest. I really don't feel like Max is going to improve that much, maybe a little bit. As far as the team goes as a whole, I just don't see them really improving. I feel like they're going to be a back marker this year, to be honest. How about you, Jim?
Yeah, I tend to be a believer in what Carlin has been able to do in other programs and in other formulas. And so I get to know his crew, get to know his team a little bit last year. They seem like, it's like a stupid compliment, but they seem like intelligent people that know what they're doing and they know how to advance a program. So I kind of have faith that they'll be able to do better than what they did last year. Maybe more. I don't think any race wins are necessarily in their future, but more top tens than they produced last year. And then, yeah, it's kind of up in the air. I'm not sure, you know, Max had a really good test that, good at Seca, and RC was really good at Coda. So maybe some signs of nice progression there. Not really sure what to expect from Max. I really kind of thought if he was going to take off, if something was going to happen with Max, it was going to be after the Indy 500 a couple years ago when he finished, was it fourth, I think?
Yeah.
And it just never did. Like, there was a couple other good results after that, and then the whole Ganassi thing happens. And I don't know. I feel like that win got kind of taken out of him after that. So we'll see. But maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm misreading the situation. And then, yeah, for the other seat, it's who knows? We're going to get RC. Definitely have heard the rumors about Pato, and that's definitely a possibility. But I don't know. It's hard to predict what they'll do until we know who the driver is for the majority of those other races. And like you said, I think Charlie will be Charlie. Charlie has some really good races. Sometimes he surprises you, and then other times he's kind of around the back. So you don't know, but yeah, with only five races, it's really hard to expect him to kind of get in the flow and get the rhythm and deliver good results.
All right. Well, I think we need to have Jim on more often here, because now I'm not outnumbered in my faith in Carlin. I do think they're going to make a giant step forward this year. I do have a lot of faith in Trevor Carlin himself and, you know, like Jim said, what he's been able to do in other formulas. I think one name to keep an eye out for is Pascal Wehrlein. I think he's been on the radar of doing a couple of IndyCar races. He doesn't want to commit to anything full-time, and I don't know if he wants to try his hand at ovals, but you could definitely just see him popping up at like a Road America or something along those lines to try his hand at an IndyCar. He said as such maybe a month or two ago that he wants to do it, and since there's a lot of full seats in IndyCar, one of the logical options for him is Carlin. I do hope to see more out of Chilton, and by more I mean not being in the back two rows every race. He does have a lot of talent, especially in the road courses, and you know, like Jim said, you know, that Indy 500 where he was brilliant, what was that, 2 years ago, finishing fourth, you know, I thought that was going to lead into something big, and it just, you know, the rest of the season, you know, he accused his team of quitting on him, and then parked at that Gateway too, and he crashed at Gateway, and it just seemed like the rest of the season didn't go very well. Enerson and Pato, I do think, will show success when they are in that seat. I have no faith in Charlie Kimball other than maybe a street course here and there. I just think that he does a poor job of staying out of trouble. So to see him only at five races this year is kind of a relief, to be honest. Less people to hit, I guess, and no more hitting Santino at Detroit, which is good. But yeah, I think Carlin will be the team out of the second year teams to make the biggest step forward, as I said a couple episodes ago. And so far, so good in testing. They weren't great. You know, Chilton did lead the one session of Laguna Seca, but they haven't been terrible. So we'll see. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they have a better step this year. And hopefully they can get that second entry locked down for sure.
I think that's a fair point, and I believe, as Jim probably heard in the press conference at Coda, Santino Ferrucci made a backhanded compliment to Charlie Kimball about getting punted at Detroit. That was pretty funny. And I will. Yes, it was fantastic. I don't think really a ton of people knew what he was referring to, but I enjoyed it. Santino had a pretty good jab in there. I think we are over to Matt now.
Ah, Santino, I love that guy. Next up on our list of preview here is Chip Ganassi Racing. They will continue with the two full-time cars. Scott Dixon will return for, I don't know. I'm not good at math, but it's every year since 2002. He joined the team, I think it was four rounds into that kart season in 2002 and hasn't looked back since. And then Felix Rosenquist is stepping into that number 10 NTT car. that was formerly occupied by Ed Jones. Jones was let go by the team after the season, and they were able to secure a deal with Rosenquist, who was primarily in Formula E last year, but he was also in a bunch of other formulas and whatnot. The team doesn't expect to add anybody to the Indianapolis 500, so it looks like just a two-car effort all year. And when we did have Mike Hull on the podcast, wow, it seems like, you know, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, they did say that going forward in the future, that if they're going to add an entry, they want to do it the right way, and they just don't want someone to bring money and have a ride-buying situation, maybe like we saw with the satellite teams in Kimball and Chilton. The team will have Honda power again. Rosenquist is the first rookie to kind of run on a full-time basis since Sage Karam did in 2015. Karam ran for, I believe, more than 50% of the races that year. Obviously, they had a very successful 2018. Scott Dixon won the championship and seemed to be a beast at just about every track they went to. Ed Jones was very strong at select venues. I think he did pretty well in some races. In some races, you didn't hear his name called once. And I think they were looking to go forward with a driver who can compete at Dixon's level, which, granted, is not very easy, but they just need to see more out of that second entry. As Tony Kanaan also had a pretty terrible 2017. So they're just looking for more a more well-rounded second entry to compete at Dixon's level and to raise the team up to maybe at a Penske level, because right now it's kind of Dixon versus others. So, Mike, what do you think of Ganassi in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Scott Dixon will probably, as a win the championship again, finish in the top three or four, especially because he didn't go with the number one car like he tricked us, what was that, early January, late December. Felix Rosenquist obviously is the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, and I think everybody who who's predicting that is probably right. Like Jim said, many of the drivers have said that. You know, last year he raced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different racing disciplines. Finished third in Formula E 2 years ago, third in Super Formula and 2 years ago, and has won championships all over Europe going back, wow, all the way to 2008. So, you know, he's obviously a hell of a driver. I think I don't know if he's going to win a race, but he's definitely going to podium more than once. And I don't know if he's going to lead laps like Robert Wickens led laps either, but I still think he's going to be, you know, maybe top 10 in the championship overall and definitely Rookie of the Year. Jess?
I can't decide if Felix is going to win or not, but I definitely think he is going to come out of the gate extremely strong. I can't wait to see him in St. Pete. It's going to be fun to watch. And obviously Dixon, everybody knows Dixon is pretty much the man to beat. So I don't see that changing this year by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's going to be a heck of a year for that team. Definitely see them finishing very, very well in the championship. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that. Well said. What was I going to say? Yeah, no, I think one of the big things for Scott, I'll start there, is that, and I don't mean this as a slight, but like, it's like you guys kind of mentioned with some of the other drivers he's had, he hasn't had a teammate really been able to push him since Dario, not like truly push him. And I think we've already seen it some of the tests, and Scott has said himself, like, yeah, this kid is for real. And there is like, there he's seeing stuff. He's taking corners faster than Scott is, and he's learning things from Felix already. So I talked to Scott the other day, and he was pretty pumped about having Felix as a teammate and what that will do for him. On the other end of that, I asked Alex about the same thing, who called, he knows Felix pretty well, called him a badass. And then I said, you think that'll make Scott better? And he went, oh man, you're right. It is going to make Scott better. That's great. So that's going to be really interesting for Scott Dixon, who obviously, I mean, the guy is ridiculous. I was looking through his numbers for my season preview stuff, and I think my favorite stat I found was that his average finishing position last year was 4.2, which is the best since 2008. Elio Castroneves had a finishing position of 4.0. He had two finishes outside the top six last year, just two. It's just incredible what he does in terms of consistency and what he's able to do everywhere he goes. So obviously a championship favorite. No one needs me to say that. What I will say about Felix is that I do think he's going to be, especially early in the season, a championship contender. I think maybe he fades to seventh or eighth, somewhere in there. but I definitely think he's capable of winning a race. I definitely think he's capable of living up to all the hype that people are saying. Is he the next Robert Wickens? One of the favorite things I'll end up writing about this, I think in a week or so, I asked Scott about it, and Scott said, it's funny that you brought it up because Felix told me, you know, I'm hearing all these Robert Wickens things and I'm hearing all this hype and I'm not, people are expecting a lot out of me. And Scott looked at him. He's like, yeah, what the hell else are you here for? Just go win races. And so that's it. I mean, I think that's what and Felix is not the guy who looks that kind of guy who looks like he feels too much pressure. So I expect a monster season from Felix, obviously, especially for a rookie. And I expect Chip Ganassi Racing to be one of the top teams again this year.
Well, I just want to butt in real quick. I'm still sticking with Erickson, everybody, just so you know. Write that one down, Sharpie. Despite what these three are saying, and I'm not taking anything from Rosenqvist because he is going to be a beast, I'm still taking Erickson. Just to butt that one in there.
He's a good sleeper pick. I like it.
There you go.
Probably get good odds on that.
Let's take 100 to 1. I'll bet $5.
Not against me, but yeah.
All right, I guess our first round of Patreon shout-outs here. Thank you, Mr. Mike Knapp, our newest Patreon subscriber, Mike Silver. There we go. Mr. Colin Taylor, and we'll wrap this first one off with Stephen King. See actually some of you guys next week. And let's see, is it my turn or Matt's turn?
I think it's Jess's turn.
It's Jess's turn.
It's mine. Guys.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yay me! Okay, so I have Dale Coyne Racing going next, and I think their biggest kind of thing off season was their partnership with Vassar Sullivan to run the 18 of Bourdais this season, and then they also have Santino Ferrucci, who we all just love. He'll be running the 19. They do have Honda Power this year. Obviously, I think their biggest highlight as a team last year was Bourdais winning St. Pete because everybody kind of looks at them as the underdog, but really, in reality, Bourdais finished seventh in the championship, and that's nothing to thumb your nose at. I don't have a little motto for them, so I'm kind of disappointed in that, but they're coming back. They're going to be good. Bourdais got his Steelmaster sponsor and Ferrucci's got PaySafe. I think they're going to be really good. I think Ferrucci is going to learn a lot. I think that we'll start seeing him get some decent finishes, probably midway through the season. I know he's got a lot to learn yet. But I think he's going to do really well once he kind of settles in and gets used to everything that goes on. And then obviously Bourdais is pretty much a beast. So I think we'll see some good things out of him too. I definitely see them finishing fairly well in the championship. I would say probably Bourdais in the top 10 again and Ferrucci someplace, maybe top 15 or so.
Can't argue that.
Yeah, well, to touch on your model thing, maybe the little engine that could, maybe.
Oh yeah, I like that one. That's good.
There we go. Yeah, with Bourdais, I think Bourdais is well. He's come to the point where he's well rounded everywhere. I think within the last 3 to 4 years, you've seen him take a giant leap on ovals, and he was strong at Indianapolis until he spun. I think the turning point really was when he dominated Milwaukee in 2015 was kind of a standout moment. And I think, he was really good at Pocono as well. So I think slowly but surely he's starting to figure out some of these ovals, and especially in a coin car that's probably not well set up on those ovals. He seems to be managing it pretty well. Ferrucci, which I think PaySafe's not there anymore. I think it's actually David Yearman, which is a designer jeweler. I think PaySafe left sponsorship altogether. But I think Ferrucci.
You're right, my bad.
That's all right. Ferrucci, I'm really looking forward to see how he does on the ovals, because when he was with us, we said, hey, next year is going to be a pretty big bump day. You don't have the deal announced. What do you think about the Indianapolis 500? He's like, sign me up. I'll drive it right now. I'm looking forward to it. And to me, that was really cool. He seems to have that aggressive mentality that you would want. He looks ready to attack the ovals and he's not timid about it. So hopefully that translates into what we actually see on the track. So, yeah, I think Bourdais, I maybe we'll save it. Well, no, we'll touch on it next week too, but I don't think he's going to luck his way into a St. Pete win this year like he has the last 2 years. But, you know, he's going to be good for a win somewhere else. Ferrucci, if you can figure out the ovals, I see him definitely competing with Colton Herta. We'll see there. But overall, I you know, we said the little engine that could, but maybe Dale Coyne is starting to step up to the point where they are going to be competing in that mid-level that maybe they haven't been accustomed to in their history, which is, you know, if you look back at the stats, they've had to come a long ways. Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I Bourdais to me is the guy that's still one of the, I don't know where to rank him, but one of the most talented drivers in the paddock, but he has this consistency issue, and it's not just him, it's really the whole team, where sometimes their setups look like they're ready to blow past Penske and Ganassi and Andretti and all the other big teams, and other times it looks like they're going to be a back market for the whole program, and then sometimes Bourdais looks like that, and Bourdais ends up racing up from, you know, 20th to 5th, which ends up being like the highlight of the weekend, and we all enjoy that, but we all know he's also sick of being kind of the hunter and having to do that. So I don't know. They have that secret weapon in Craig Hampson as an engineer that I think is fantastic, and I always think gives them an early edge. I think he's always really good early in the season. I think that's partly why we see some good results at St. Pete, and then the pole he had at Phoenix last year. And not to say he's not a good engineer for the whole year, but I just really think he gives them an edge, especially early on as people are trying to figure things out. But yeah, no, I think Bourdais ends up finishing where he always does, top 10 in the championship. Maybe not sure the top five. There's just too many other monster teams to compete with, I think, for that to happen. But not to say he isn't capable of winning a race or two. He definitely, you know, he's won, I think it's won or at least one race in five straight years, which I think it's only Dixon and Power at this point that have done that now. So he's been able to figure out a way to get, well, at least one. I think he will again. And then, yeah, with Ferrucci, it's a lot of time will tell. He had that really good result at the end of the year last year. Obviously some character issues to be aware of, but I don't, like I said, I think those things might be just a product of a young kid doing something stupid and thing in the past. So it'll be interesting to watch, but that car has kind of struggled to keep up with Bourdais, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what Santino is able to pull off this year.
I'm going to start my prediction on this with a question of how many unnecessary complaints will Sebastian Bourdais have throughout the year? Because we know he's always good for at least a few of them. So I'm going to set the over under at 3.5 now that, you know, betting is almost legal in Indiana. I don't remember where that is through the legal process there, but I know it was in the news this week. But yeah, I think you guys are right. I think, you know, Bourdais he'll have a win. He'll contend in more than a few races and probably finish in the top half of, you know, top half of the field overall. Ferrucci, I'm really curious about. I think he showed some good moments. I wonder if he's going to have some rookie moments. And I'm very curious about, especially with his you know, backhanded comment to Charlie Kimball in the preseason press conference, will he make enemies in the paddock with his kind of cocky attitude? And will people kind of get frustrated with him? I don't think he's got any major character issues, you know, dating back to the whole Europe thing last year. I think that's, you know, in the past. But he's definitely out of the rookies, probably the one who's most confident in voicing his opinion. Matt?
Yeah, I got nothing to add to that. Is it your turn to go, Mike?
I think it is. We'll go through this one pretty quick. It's Dragon Speed. Dragon Speed Racing, obviously they're a new team racing at St. Pete, Barber, the 500, Road America, and Mid-Ohio. I don't know what to think about Ben Hanley. He's 34 years old and as a rookie, he might be in for a lot. I know he's extremely excited to be racing in IndyCar for five races this year. I know he didn't get to test at COTA, but was you know, bugging the heck out of his team to get moving from what I've read online from a few places. He's got decent results, you know, looking at his racing record online here, but I don't know if it will really translate too much overall. I think they might be a possible, unless they, you know, form some sort of technical alliance, a possible team to watch out for getting bumped in the 500. And I will turn it over to Matt for his thoughts first.
Where to pull out a positive on this one? It's great to see a new team,
yes,
have the willingness to join IndyCar, especially one that's also willing to kind of set aside what we've seen in recent history, which is, you know, a team that joins must form a technical allianceship immediately, or otherwise they might as well not even bother. And they don't have an alliance at this point. Super appreciative of the efforts of Jay Fry and then everybody at the team for making this step and figuring everything out, getting Ben Haley aboard and all that good stuff. It's just very tough to see how this season is going to go for them in a positive manner. I think they just have to make the most of their practice sessions, you know, qualifying. They're probably not going to get out of, you know, the first group at road courses and then at road oval, you know, Indianapolis. I think they're going to be up against it immediately. The good thing is they do have, what, 6 or 7 days to kind of figure it out before qualifying. And then as far as Hanley goes, you know, would he be my first choice? No, I probably would have gone with Oriel Servia. However, the team does have a rapport with him, so I guess it kind of makes sense from that standpoint, and they know what to expect from him. They know how to work with him and all that good stuff, and they understand maybe some of his terminology. But having said all that, it's going to be a pretty tough year for them. I would say that it's good news for Yunkos because they might not be last this year, but I just don't see a good year for Dragon Speed, and that's kind of my thoughts on that. What do you think, Jess?
I'm going to say that their motto should be an uphill battle because they definitely haven't given themselves any help by not having the car together for the test. You know, it's just putting them behind a little bit. Obviously, it's going to be rough for them. I think that they could be happy if, you know, they finish in, well, if they just finish, because I think they just have a lot of obstacles in their way. It's unfortunate, but I am glad to see them coming over and giving it a shot. And maybe they're just kind of dipping their toes in the pool and, you know, next year they'll be better and ready to go. But I think this year is definitely not going to be easy for them. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, no, I think you guys all kind of hit it on the head. I think it's important to remember. I remember talking to Trevor Carlin last year, and it's hard for, I think, team owners and drivers to think this way, but he said it's not about results in that first year. It's just about learning and development, and that's going to be the same for Dragon Speed. It's going to be the same it was for, you know, for Yunkos and for Meyer Shank and for all those teams that are just trying to get their foot in the door and get started and trying to learn what it's going to take to be competitive at IndyCar. So, yeah, you just got to look at it and not look at results and you know, that's really hard for fans and for everybody to do, but that's going to be important for them this year because it's just going to be a five race program that they're just dipping their foot in the water and seeing what it's going to take. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I have for them.
All right, Matt, you're up.
Well, I'm going to segue into mine first by kind of touching on what Jim said in his last bit there. Well, how about we give him like the Ed Carpenter measuring stick? And what I mean by that is when Ed Carpenter raced on road courses, everybody looked at him and it was like he was 4 seconds off the pace from everybody. And then the next season, 3.5 seconds off the pace and everybody be praising him. Whereas I'm the jerk in the background saying like, well, he's still 3.5 seconds slower than everybody. What the heck? But no, he does make a great point. And that is if they get progressively better, that is going to be, you know, a good sign for them, even if they're kind of towards the back of the field. So that's a really good point there, Jim. But speaking of Ed Carpenter Racing is the next team on the list here. They have one new driver on their team, and that's Ed Jones. He's taking that Jordan King / Mike Conway / Spencer Pigott role, doing the road courses for that number 20 car. Ed Carpenter will be on all the ovals, including the Indianapolis 500, and Spencer Pigott is back with the team for the full-time entry. Jones is also running with a Scuderia Corsa sponsorship / partnership. Scuderia Corsa was in the Indianapolis 500 last year with Oriel Servia. All three will be running on Indianapolis, so Jones included. So they'll have a three-car effort there. Jordan King is out of the team now. He did go to Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan, and he will just be attempting the Indianapolis 500. Unclear if there's more entries coming in that, but we can touch on that later. Biggest bombshell for them, obviously, in the offseason was losing Fuzzy's Vodka, their longtime sponsor since the team began in 2012. They are no longer with the team, unfortunately. Jones's car has been blank as far as sponsorship in preseason testing. It's not uncommon. However, it's also a little concerning given that, again, they did lose their sponsor. Auto Geek was a primary sponsor on Piggott's car during the testing. They were on the car a couple times last year, including St. Pete, and I think a couple others, if I'm not mistaken. Trouble with Auto Geek is that I think Mike pointed out to me is that they're actually owned by Vision Investments, which is a company owned by Tony George, who is, you know, related to Ed Carpenter. So I don't, not that that's not a real sponsor. However, I wonder if Tony George is pumping in some of his own money into the team. So I do hope they find some consistent sponsors here very soon. Overall, last year, you know, they had some pretty good results. Piggott was really good on some of the ovals. He was really good at Indianapolis until a pit speed penalty. Had his career best race at Iowa. You know, showed up to a couple good venues and was consistent. But overall, some of the road courses they struggled at. Jordan King struggled at being consistent and putting it all together to finish some races. Carpenter did really well at Indianapolis, and outside of that was pretty average on some of the ovals. Wrecked Robert Wickens at Texas, which angered a lot of people. So overall, the goal for them this year is just to find some more consistency and to really put one of those entries, you know, because if you combine what Jones does with what Carpenter does, see if that is at like the same level of maybe like a James Hinchcliffe as far as points goes. And then for Piggott, obviously, to make a top 10 effort in the championship this year would probably be a nice goal for him and maybe a podium or two. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, the sponsorship thing is a little concerning, but I'm sure Tony George will figure something out for them if worse comes to worse. I think Spencer Piggott has gotten better every year. I don't know if he's going to break through for a win this year, but my biggest hope for him is that he can be more consistent in qualifying. He tended to not qualify great, especially on the you know, streets and road courses. So we shall see there. Ed Carpenter, you know, he'll do the ovals, and I hope he does well, but he just does a couple races, so I'm not worried about him. Ed Jones, I really hope he can pull out a win this year. I think he really needs a win to kind of keep his career going in the right direction. He didn't have the most consistent year last year at Ganassi, and I think that definitely hurt his, you know, his stock, especially since he's not full season this year. So hopefully he can pull out a win and be more consistent in terms of you know, moving back into a full-time seat in 2020. I'll turn it over to Jess.
Not sure that Jones is going to be able to get a win, but I definitely think that he will podium. Same with Piggott. I think that despite his kind of, we'll call it a rough start to the beginning of last year, I think he kind of, you know, got a little better as the season went. Obviously, he had a couple rough finishes there at the end too, but I think that he could roll over his learning and have a decent season. I'm not sure top 10 is in his future, but I think that he could pull, well, maybe. I'll say 10 probably would be about good for him. And then obviously Ed Carpenter, I hope he finishes well at Indy again. I mean, it's always such a fun story to watch play out. But yeah, like you said, the rest of the races that he ran, he was average at best. So maybe he'll have a better year this year. I'm saying mediocre for the season as a whole for the team. What do you think, Jim?
Oh yeah, I'll start with Ed. I mean, Ed is, you know, just the oval guy, and I don't, to be honest, I mean, he's a competitive guy and wants to do well everywhere he goes. But all that really matters to Ed Carpenter is Indy, and that's just truth. That's just all. That's what he's sticking around for. That's the race he wants to win, and he's really, really damn good there. So this is I don't think there's any reason not to consider him among the favorites heading into Indy, considering what he's done in terms of qualifying and the way he raced last year. I actually think it's weird. I think he's getting better as he gets. I mean, he's getting to an age where people consider, you know, retirement, some other drivers, but I think he's actually just getting better at Indy as the years have gone on here. If you look at the results, they kind of speak to that. So yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, I don't think he's going to be bad at any of the other ovals, Texas or Iowa or anything like that, but I could definitely see him contending for the win at Indianapolis. Moving over to Spencer, I actually think he's maybe like the underratedly, like one of the drivers under the most pressure. I think Ed is expecting some serious progression. I remember talking to him last year about what he expected out of Spencer, and he was hoping to see some podiums and race wins, and Spencer only delivered one of those and one with Iowa, and that was big for him. And I'm not saying he can't do it again, but I think there is a lot of pressure on him to make this happen a little faster. Ed has got one of the longest leashes in IndyCar. He tends to hold on to his young drivers for a while and let them develop. Joseph Newgarden's a perfect example of that. But I definitely think that Spencer's time there isn't infinite and that he needs to start pushing some good results. And like I said, last year, he finished 14th. He finished ahead of Zach Veach. That was a guy that a lot of people talked about the kind of progress he made. But so that's interesting, and we'll see. I don't know what Spencer's going to do this year. He's kind of one of those wild cards to me, but I think there's a lot of pressure on him to perform well. And then as far as Ed Jones goes, it's kind of like what you guys said. It's that he needs to – he lost his full-time ride. He's on his third different team in 3 years. I definitely think there's talent there. We obviously saw it at Indy. He had 2 podiums last year. There were numerous times throughout – not a lot, but numerous times throughout last year where he either out-qualified or out-finished Scott at Chip Ganassi. So the talent is definitely there. He just needs to make the most of what is going to be more limited opportunities this year. I think he can make something of it. I think he's the kind of guy that will stick around IndyCar for a while. I don't know – you know, if he'll be on the best teams and winning a bunch of races, but I think he's got enough talent that he'll be around IndyCar for a while. So yeah, that's kind of the outlook on Ed Carpenter.
Basically. All right. So let's see here. I think Jess is next.
Yep. I think so. I have Harding. So I think obviously the biggest piece of news from them is their partnership with Steinbrenner becoming Harding at Steinbrenner Racing. Also, just to kind of toot our own horn a little bit, they are doing the Pit Lane Parlay experience with us, so definitely keep in touch over the season. You will hear us interviewing all of their team members, their drivers, etc., just kind of giving you a behind-the-scenes look into what goes on during a race weekend. On that note, their driver this year is going to be Colton Herta. They are going to have a Honda engine. Obviously, last year was marked with some weird driver switches. They didn't have any victories. They were struggling, to say the least. So I think that their motto this year is going to just be the word stability. They need to just focus on being a good, solid, stable team under Colton and start learning things and being able to start producing some good results. And I think that Colton is very good for being able to do that. I think obviously the COTA test proved that he's got what it takes to put the speed down. So they just need to kind of work around him to create a good team atmosphere. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, first off, I'm excited to, get to know the guys behind the scene there every week. I think Colton Herta is going to have a good year. He definitely tested amazing, which I doesn't always correlate to season success, but I think it will be better than some people might have expected if he tested poorly. So, he's probably not going to win Rookie of the Year, but I think he'll have a decent top 15 type season. I'm curious to see if they'll get a second car at Indy. It sounds like if they do, it's going to need to be some serious funding. So I hope for the best for them. I think they're going to improve with Colton. Like you said, stability is the key here. Making sure that Colton has the full season and the full support, I think will go a long way in terms of his ultimate success. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, obviously the whole paddle thing happening right before the season starts, obviously not a good look. But there is no reason why I think that, Colton Herta can't go out there and do as good and if not better than Marco Andretti in the championship if there really is that strong technical alliance with Andretti Autosport. I do think he is that good and that talented that he can compete with some of the established veterans of IndyCar. It's just from what I saw in Indy Lights, it just comes down to consistency. Whether he was doing well in a race and leading and then all of a sudden, brushes the wall out of a turn. I swear I saw that like at least 2 or 3 times in his 2-year career there that, he was doing well and then had something within his control that, happened to him, like a crash. So I really think it does come down to that consistency, but I have a lot of high hopes for him. Seems like a well-rounded driver, just keeping it all together and finishing a race is going to be probably his biggest obstacle for the year. But I do see them obviously having a much better season than they did in 2018. What about you, Jim?
Yeah, totally agree. I think that's all because of the alliance with Andretti and that technical alliance and what they're going to be able to do for their damper program and some of the engineers that are able to, I don't know if the borrow is the right word on that. So I do think that that's going to make a huge difference. I think we saw what that difference could mean at COTA. And then, yeah, it comes down to Colton's talent. And I don't think there was anybody – I think he had a chance to beat Pato. I don't think like a lot of remember people – I don't think a lot of people remember that he was leading the Indy Lights Championship before he hit the wall at Toronto and broke and fractured his thumb. And from that point on, it was kind of Pato just took over and rallied off a bunch of wins and went on to win the championship. But I think a fully healthy Herta would have really challenged him. So those guys are, in my mind, they're completely different drivers, but somewhat equally talented. And so I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm kind of bummed that they're not racing together. I think there's a healthy respect there, but I also think there's like a great rivalry there. And it would have been fun to watch those two kind of go at each other because I think they really do push each other quite a bit. So it's a little bummed that we won't see Pato there pushing Colton, but I think Colton will have enough experience, and he's got his dad. He's not on the same team technically as his dad, but he'll have him there to kind of help him out. And again, Andretti guys being there to help will be a huge difference this year. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really good year for Harding. I would expect Colton to definitely put up some top tens, maybe a podium, and have a really impressive rookie season.
All right, I like it. So let's see here. I believe it is my turn, and we are up with Junkos. I guess we can go through this one pretty quickly, too, because outside of two races, we don't even know who their drivers are, which is a little confusing, but I'll get to there. So Kyle Kaiser is confirmed in the Junkos Chevy for Circuit of the Americas. I think most likely the Indy 500 as well. He had a decent four-race stint last year, marred by some technical problems at the Indy 500. But my biggest question is they are on the list for next week for St. Pete. They put out a little Instagram post of their upcoming schedule. But they are in the Dale Coyne TBA list right now of we don't know who our driver is and it's 9 days away. So I'm curious to see who it's gonna be. Is it gonna be Kaiser? Is it gonna be Canapino, maybe Pato? I'm sure the list could go on there. Maybe somebody random, but Jess, what do you think about Junkos?
Yeah, I think concerning is a good word. I think that's what you said, that they haven't put out who their driver is for St. Pete yet. Obviously, that doesn't give me the warm fuzzies for how their season is going to go. If we're this close and they haven't made an announcement, I can't imagine that they have everything together and are ready to go. So I just don't think that their season is going to be that great. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, nothing more to add other than that if they are on the grid, like I said earlier, it'll be a good attempt for Dragon Speed to show what they really got, maybe against the back markers of the field. But they just need to, sitting this year out, if they do like four or five races and then focusing on 2020 might not be the worst thing for them. Thing, Jim?
I don't know what there is to say until we know who the drivers are. Pato is certainly an option for Junkos at St. Pete, but I guess at the end of the day, I just kind of feel bad for Kyle. I think the kid is talented. It's very personable, and he just hasn't been able to kind of find the sponsorship and able to make this thing work. He had a pretty impressive qualifying performance last year at Phoenix. I know 14th doesn't look that impressive, but he was one of the first guys to go out, and that kind of held up against some of the other established veterans. And then he qualified 17th at Indy, so I thought those are some pretty impressive performances for him and for Junkos. So, yeah, it's unfortunate they haven't been able to put anything else together because I think they were steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And I'm going to jump in with our second round of Patreon shout-outs before I turn it over to Matt. So thank you, Matt Grunholz, Michael Goodyear, our buddy George, Jason Camps, Colin Taylor. I might have gotten him last time. And I think I've done him last about a month in a row now, so I'm sorry, but thank you, Mr. David Lighting, and I hope the Packers finish in last place. Let's turn it over to Matt.
Actually, I re-listened last week, and you gave Colin two after I said, did you get Colin? But you had already done it, so I don't know why I questioned you like that, but hey, Colin, how's it going? Hope you're enjoying the episode. Yeah, moving on to another one we can kind of touch on really quick is Meyer Shank Racing. Last year, they participated in six races with Jack Harvey with a technical alliance with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport. This year, they will continue that alliance with Arrow Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport. and do 10 races. So they are stepping up a little bit, but obviously not the full-time campaign for a championship or anything like that. Harvey does lose his rookie designation because he did do the 6 races last year, so now he's considered a quote-unquote veteran. They do, the biggest kind of off-season news for the team was that they did purchase an additional chassis. So now they have, you know, their standard chassis, but they also have now one solely devoted to the Indianapolis 500, which I do think will very much help them take a step forward there. So hopefully, given a good speed week, they can, you know, go into qualifying relatively assured that they'll be safe. It was a little close there last year to getting into the field. I guess the good news with this team is that, you know, they are doing 10 races this year, which is a step up from what they did last year. But they do have an eye to the future. They're hoping that a positive 2019 leads them into a full-time season in 2020 with the possibility of an additional car at the Indianapolis 500 for a teammate for Harvey. So that's good. Harvey did have a couple of very good races. I think prior to his crash at St. Petersburg, he was doing very well. And that crash was as a result of a flat tire, so it wasn't, you know, anything he did wrong. And I thought his best race of the year was at Portland. I thought he did a very good job of moving through the field a couple times, made some really good passes. So it looks like road course is solid. Would like to see a little more at Indianapolis. And, you know, with that increased schedule, I think we'll get more chances to see him shine this year. Jess, what do you think? Meyer Shank?
Glad to see them going to do more races than they did last year. Again, I think it goes back to just being able to have the time, you know, with the driver in the car, learning, learning as a team. I think it's a great thing. So I'm definitely excited to see what they can do. I definitely think they're going to do better than last year. I will say maybe one top 10 finish. I'm not going to go overly optimistic, but I think they'll pull it out. I think they'll get one real good race.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you know, Jack Harvey is definitely, you know, looks like he's working pretty hard this offseason to really prove his fitness, which obviously is extremely important. You know, the team jumping up to 10 races is huge. You're getting the XM sponsorship is, you know, not only sponsorship, but you know, the guy is also now part owner. I believe they, you know, they're taking every step in the right direction and they're doing it the right way. So I expect better things from them this year. I like Matt said, I hope they Harvey improves a little bit at Indianapolis because he was definitely in trouble of getting bumped last year, starting, what, 32nd, I think. So, yeah, I hope for some better things. And again, like Matt said, the second car purchase, you know, specifically for the 500 is huge, obviously. Is, you know, I think Connor Daly mentioned, you know, being in the road course car for Dale Coyne last year didn't really help his, you know, chances at the 500. So, I think Jim's last on this one.
Yeah, I love what they're doing at Meyer Shank. I just like the slow progression, the slow build, and seeing some good results last year. That's really all I can say about them. It hasn't been anything that blow you away. I mean, they were a yellow flag away from from finishing second in last year's 500. So that would have been kind of crazy if they had done that. But other than that, they were pretty impressive, pretty stellar, or I mean, pretty middle of the pack most of the year, which is, you know, not a bad thing. When you have 6 races to work with, now that they have 10, they should get a little bit better. I think Jack Harvey's a pretty talented guy, incredibly likable guy. I think that his some of the highlights of his season were actually him in the radio booth. He was fantastic there. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's one of those teams that it's hard not to cheer for because you see that they've taken a smart, studied approach to entering IndyCar. And I wish and I hope other teams like Dragon Speed, some of these other teams, kind of do it the same way they do. And eventually, and like I said, I hope that Meyer Shank ends up having a successful program because then I think a lot more people will follow in their footsteps. So yeah, kind of a lot riding on that in a way, because if they do really well, I think more teams will try what they've done, which is that slow build, which I think is a really good thing.
I agree. I think it's Jess's turn now.
Okay. So I have Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing. Keeping the same drivers, we got Ray Hall and Sato again. I don't have a motto for them again. I did poorly this time. I think their 2018 highlight obviously was Sato in Portland. Kind of came out of nowhere, in my opinion. I mean, he ran a good race, but I did not pick him in fantasy. Let's put it that way. I think that they are going to do better this year. That's just a gut feeling. I don't have like a real reason. I just feel like I think they're going to do better than they did last year. Ray Hall finished 8th in the championship and Takuma finished 12th. I'm going to say they're both going to finish in the top 10. I'm going to be optimistic for them. I just feel like maybe they're going to have a good Indy this year, whereas last year it was kind of not as great. Obviously, Graham finished 10th, but Takuma finished 32nd, so that was pretty rough. But I think they're going to do better. I don't think they're going to really contend for the championship, but I think they'll do better than they did last year. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, Graham Rahal, as I said before, the season last year was a driver I was worried about with this new car. Pretty good 2018. You know, nothing really stood out, though, which is kind of the problem. He was, you know, he wasn't, like, slow. He was consistent everywhere and was competing in several races. But, you know, just lacked those two or three good results we always saw from him in the Aero Kit era. Sato was impressively well at a couple venues, like Road America. You know, he did very well at Iowa, and obviously he won at Portland. And I'm really interested to see if Jordan King adds anything to their lineup at the Indianapolis 500, because I always think that's been Graham Rahal's Achilles heel. I mean, you looked at his Indy 500 results. I think the only one that really stands out was his, I think it was third or fourth place finish in 2011. But other than that, he's crashed a couple times, failed to finish, or has just been kind of misered in the mid-pack. So I think he really needs to turn it around in Indy if he has any hopes of making a championship run. Personally, I just don't see it. But, you know, one thing I do want to comment about Graham is I think he's made tremendous strides outside of the car. He is definitely a leader off the track and a great guy to interact with on social media. And if you see him at a track, it seems like he's always going above and beyond for fans, which is always appreciative to see. But on the track, I do see them maybe duking it out with Dale Coyne as far as competing at that level, maybe for a lower top 10 championship spot for one of those two drivers, and I do think Graham will get the edge over Sato. What about you, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's funny that you mentioned his Achilles heel being Indy, because I think his Achilles heel is, I think that's maybe one Achilles heel, and the other one is qualifying.
True.
He can't, I'm going to pull up his numbers here in a second, but we were talking to him at Media Day, and he was just talking about how frustrating that's been for him over the last couple of years, that he hasn't been able to start up front, because I think he's among the, I don't know, maybe the top five driver when it comes to race day. He's always cutting through the field, always doing some fascinating things when once the race starts, but it's always like he's starting in like 14th. And so it's gotta be pretty frustrating for him. I know it is. And it's another guy that he said he's sick of doing all the hunting. He'd like to be the hunted every once in a while. And I'm looking at some of his starts. He's got a 24th, a 30th, a 20th, an 18th, a 10th. I mean, this is a guy that's too talented, a team that has too many resources for that kind of thing to happen. And I know he was a little down at Media Day. The testing hadn't really gone the way they'd hoped so far. So, yeah, it's hard to get enthusiastic about Rahal right now. I was feeling a lot better about them last year. Like Jess had both those guys in the top 10 last year. And Rahal did manage to finish 8th. And Sato actually had some good races, but it just never came together. And now, I don't know, Graham's got me down on Rahal right now. Maybe things will turn around, but he just seemed a little bummed at COTA. So maybe they'll turn things around early in the season and I'll change my mind. And then as for Sato, he's one of those guys that I feel like he's kind of been his whole career, right? He's like he's capable of those, you know, last place finishes after if something goes wrong, or he's capable of doing something special, kind of like he did at Portland. Or, I mean, he had a podium in Iowa. He was 4th at Elkhart Lake. He had some really, really good races last year, and he's capable of those kind of results. He just consistency has always been kind of his problem. That's been his Achilles heel. And so I wonder if these two will push each other in the right directions where Graham can maybe help him with a little consistency and Takuma can help him with qualifying a bit. Sometimes Takuma had some like 7 or 8 times where he started in the top 10. So maybe if these two can push each other a little bit more, maybe I'll feel a little bit better early in the season. But right now I'm not feeling great about Rahal Letterman Lanigan.
Yeah, I really don't know. I really don't know what I think of Rahal right now. I think Graham will, if he can solve his qualifying issues, would go a long way. But Sato, I think Sato will have a one or two races, no attack, no chance, where he's up there. But I think, I don't remember who mentioned it, but, Rahal as a team in the Dale Coyne level, I think is probably a very accurate assessment of where they'll most likely finish. I hope Graham does well. I think he's a great driver and he's great personality, always defends IndyCar on social media when things are brought up, you know, positive or negative. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, an ambassador like that for the sport. So we shall see, but I'm not seeing them as a top flight team right now. So I guess with that, it's over to me for Penske, correct, Matt?
Yeah, speaking of top flight teams, why don't you go
ahead? Yeah, top flight team. We have Penske, you know, call them the evil empire of IndyCar, whatever you want. Obviously, they'll be, you know, they'll be in the mix probably every weekend. Will Power back again with Verizon on his car. Will Power, I've been saving this, you know, all episode, is my pick for the season championship winner. I think he's really just come into a zone qualifying race-wise. Ovals, street courses, road courses. He's really just found a groove the last couple of years. I think he is our championship winner. Joseph Newgarden had, to me, a curious 2018. He started off awesome, you know, especially through what was that, Road America, where he won, and then kind of had a quiet second half of the year where he didn't even podium, I believe, the last seven or eight races. And I'm doing that without cheating. but I think, you know, he's definitely, you know, in line to win a race or two. He's, you know, done well at Barber Motorsports Park a couple of years in a row now. Won at Phoenix, which doesn't matter. Won at Barber last year and won at Road America. So I think, you know, he's due for a couple wins at a minimum. Now, Simon Pagenaud is the one I don't really know what to think. He didn't have, obviously, a great 2018, despite finishing sixth overall. Didn't have, you know, any pole positions or any wins. And I think Matt and Jess and I have all said this multiple times last year that maybe the new car just, it doesn't fit his driving style or hasn't yet found the groove in the new aero kit. So, you know, with that bright day glow Menards car, I hope to see it at the front, but he's the one I guess if you're going to question a Penske driver going into the year, Pagenaud would be the one I would be, I don't know if most concerned about is the right way to put it, but I think, yeah, most concerned about is the way I would put it. I'll turn it over. Let's start with Jim on this one.
Oh, okay. I'll just go right to Simon then, I guess. Pick up where you left off is that he did have a decent finish to the end of the year. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm counting. I'm cheating. It's like 10 top 10 finishes in a row, a podium in there, a bunch of top fives. Like, there was progress made, especially from the early part of the season where everybody was kind of looking around going, what the heck's going on with Simon? Like, this is not the guy. This is not the season champion that we'd come to know. So I definitely think there was progress. I'll say this about him. He's bound and determined to improve on what he was last year. He was very frustrated by what happened last year. And the last time we saw a kind of a frustrated and motivated Simon Pagenaud, it's the first year at Penske when he didn't do so well. And the next year he came out and won five races and won the championship pretty easily. So we'll see. That could be something that he, you know, we, I don't know if we'll see that again, but it could be interesting to see what a motivated Simon Pagenaud is able to do.
Fair point. Go ahead, Jess.
I'm going to give them the motto of a force to be reckoned with, because obviously everybody knows Penske is kind of where you set your standards at. Power, obviously great season last year. I think he's going to continue that. I don't see him backpedaling at all. Newgarden, I think he's going to have a couple races just like last year. He struggled with a couple. I think he's going to have that again. I don't think he's obviously going to do poor, but I think he's not going to have his best season either. And then as far as Pagenaud goes, I see him going forward. I don't think he's going to finish as far back as sixth. I think he's going to be in the top five in the championship, like Jim said, and I am also cheating. I'm looking at the way his season finished up, and it's obviously way, way better than it started. I think he just had kind of a rough start. Maybe he didn't particularly care for the car, but I think he figured it out, and I think he did really well, and I think he's going to continue that. So a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I guess on that, you know, I do have Will Power winning the championship this season, just because you just look how good he is on ovals nowadays, combined with, you know, how good he is on road courses. It's just such a ridiculous combination of talent. And I think the more intriguing question is, obviously, I mean, we know Penske's going to do well each week. Is, you know, of those three, who's going to do worst in the championship? Because you got, what, three combined champ? I mean, they've all won a championship. They're all very well, you know, they've just amazing results over their careers. They obviously had to do something to get to the team. So, you know, I mean, how do you pick between Pagano, Newgarden, and Power as far as who's going to do last in the championship this year? I mean, the easy answer is probably Pagano based on his 2018, but, you know, if we look at history, you know, he was pretty garbage in 2015, and then all of a sudden 2016, he just, you know, was finished no worse than second his first five races and went on to win the championship pretty convincingly. So I wouldn't count out Pagano. Again, based on his 2018 results, it's a little easy to say that he may not have the best season, but and I was very concerned about his job security there towards the end of the year, but, you know, I don't think he's a guy that messes around, and I do think that he'll have a much better year. And again, you know, Newgarden is a stud, so it's so hard to pick who would finish last out of those three, but I think they'll all be a fixture in the championship.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you could pretty much flip a coin with if you're trying to determine who's going to finish where amongst Team Penske. But I will turn it over to Matt for his final team.
I think that was it, actually. That's it for the teams. There's no more after that.
Oh, perfect. Wow.
You got to round us out there with the, what'd you call them? The evil empire.
You know, kind of like the Yankees. Everybody hates Team Penske. Everybody hates the Yankees except me. So with that, Jim, thank you, you know, very much for joining us. Hope everybody enjoyed the season preview. You know, we'll put up some sort of poll about who do you think is going to win the season championship. Does anybody else have any final thoughts?
I didn't say anything about Will, so I wanted to add in that I was really considering him as a season champion like you guys did, but I haven't had him finish in second behind Rossi. So anyway, I do believe that he was incredible last year, and if it had not been for those four DNFs, he might actually won the championship last year. So
yeah,
you're just going in for the faux Will Power brownie points there.
Oh, that is the opposite of what I was going for. I don't... just like I said, I think Will, like you guys talked about, Will's looks like he's locked in, especially after that 500. He seems to be in his zone, so we'll see. I think it could carry over this year.
Cool. Well, with that, Jess, feel free to sign it off.
And guys, keep your lug nuts tight.
The music for this week's episode was done by Impulse Studios, web design courtesy of A30.com.